Father, we do pray for this moment in particular. We talk a lot about needing to listen to you. This is when we listen to you, Lord, when we look at your word and we uncover its meaning. We let you speak through it. Lord, may we hear you speak now and maybe not ignore it. Lord, when there is a comfort, maybe we hold it dear to us. Lord, when there's a challenge, maybe not duck it. Lord, we know that your word brings life. Give us the courage to believe that. Amen. Well, in our series on God's dictionary, where we look at what God says words mean as opposed to what our world does, we come to the issue of time. And actually, I just remember, Sam, can you bring me my tablet? We come to the issue of time, and we're going to see that that God has a very different understanding of time to us. Ultimately, of course, time is relative. And I don't mean here in an Einstein sense. Don't worry, we're not going to go into relativity here. I mean that 5 minutes can be a world of different things. 5 minutes left in an exam and the chaos it brings and the anxiety that comes with it is different from 5 minutes left in a detention. 5 minutes as you wait for your plane to take off to take you to holiday is different from 5 minutes to live. 1 5 minutes is nothing. You're happy to wait. It's gone in a blink. The other 5 minutes is unbelievably precious. Every second counts. You see, knowing how much time we have left matters. It affects our choices, whether we realize it or not. And we're going to see the impact of this by working through verses 34 to 38 of chapter 8 of Mark. So do have it open in front of you. But first, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in life after death? Now, if you're not a Christian, then first of all, you're just so welcome at our service. But if you're not a Christian, your answer is probably going to be, no, I don't. And I really respect that, because almost certainly your life is consistent with your belief. If you're a Christian, on the other hand, your answer is going to be, yes, I do believe in life after death. But the question these verses present us is, do you actually believe in it? Or is it just some vague hope about the future? Is it a belief that changes your life? So let's look at our passage together. Jesus calls a crowd together with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Here's the first message: denying yourself. Denying yourself. That's what Jesus says here. Jesus says that if you want to be his disciple, which is another word for a Christian, you've got to deny yourself. And just in case we're unclear what that means, he then tells us what it is. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Now, the cross in the ancient world was a horrible form of execution and torture. And to take up your cross is to walk the path to that execution. It involves humiliation as you are stripped naked. It involves poverty as everything you value is taken away from you, including your reputation. It involves excruciating pain. It involves rejection. And finally, it involves death. That's what Jesus says. He uses that as the illustration of denying ourselves. And then he goes on to say also, and follow me. As a disciple, that means we surrender control of our lives and we say that Jesus is in control. Deny yourself. Denying yourself here is a deliberate choice that will lead to a painful outcome, all because you follow Jesus. Or put it another way, because you follow Jesus, you make a choice that you know will be costly. It's a deliberate choice that is costly or painful because you obey Jesus. So three areas where this might become obvious are giving up a pleasure, giving up a reputation, and giving up a future. Giving up a pleasure like a comfortable life. Why? Because you choose not the easy way, Rather, you choose to serve him, his people and the lost, even though that takes up your time, your effort, your sleep. Or another pleasure, a possession, either money or something that money's bought, and you give it up because you want to use it for him. Maybe it's a holiday, maybe it's a car, maybe it's something in your bank account. Maybe it's a relationship because someone is drawing you away from the Lord. Or maybe it's a romantic relationship because it goes against God's view of marriage for you to marry that person. Jesus' view set out in the Bible. So maybe it's a pleasure you give up, which is costly. Maybe it's your reputation. Because following the Jesus of the Bible, as opposed to the Jesus we make up to make us feel better, like some sort of giant teddy bear Jesus, if instead we follow the Jesus of the Bible, it will mean that we're ridiculed and despised. Look, for example, at what happens if you or I speak up for Jesus' view of marriage or the value of children, both in the womb and outside the womb. So we see that it can be giving up a pleasure, giving up a reputation, or giving up a future. As you prioritize different things at work to those around you, or you prioritize things outside of work because of your obedience to the Lord, or because your future, giving up your future because in your part of the world, to follow Jesus means rejection, persecution, loss of job, loss of house, loss of freedom, loss of life. So what do you think then? So Jesus is pretty full on here. He says, to follow me, you must deny yourself. And what you think of that will depend on your view of time. To our world, Jesus' call is crazy. And that's why people invent other Jesuses that they can follow who aren't so demanding. To our world, this seems madness. Why? Because they believe that time is short. Their understanding of time is hopefully 70 to 90 years. And so this call to deny yourself seems madness because this life is everything. To deny yourself is to miss out on your only shot at life. When I used to live across the road and I had to go to Carshalton Beaches, normally to the bakery, and I was walking there and I'd take a back route and there was a car there which had a bumper sticker. It says, you only have one life, live it. And I thought, that just feels so alive, doesn't it? That feels so bold and courageous and exciting. And I imagine getting in a plane and jetting off with my car, I don't know how I'd quite do that, landing in the middle of the Amazonia, driving through and doing all sorts of really exciting things. It sounds so alive, doesn't it? And that is going to be what you do if you don't believe in eternal life. Because if you don't believe in life after death, this life becomes your only shot at heaven. But here's the problem. It turns out that this heaven, where this life is heaven, is neither very fair nor very nice. It's noteworthy that this car I was looking at was a four-wheel drive and an expensive one. It seems great to make this life your heaven when you've got money. Tough luck if you're poor or ill. It leads to economic inequality. Because if this life is my heaven, every moment becomes unbelievably precious and I want the possessions to make it better. And so I want to buy possessions as cheaply as possible because then I can get more possessions so I can suck the marrow out of this life. And eventually I'll start buying at places that I know mistreat those who manufacture it. It's a heaven for a few. I believe it's this view which is leading to the increasing abandonment of our elderly relatives. Why, as family members, we kind of shy away from it. We're quite happy that they live a long way away. Because deep down, they're getting in the way of me living. I love them. But if I commit my life to caring for them for the next 10, 20, 30 years, those are years of my heaven lost. And that's why they feel that they don't want to ask us for things, because they don't want to be a burden. The amount of time we would spend caring for them is not a burden if you believe in eternal life, is it? It's a moment. But if you believe this is everything, every year is a year lost. And in this heaven, where there is no life after death, the idea that an unborn child should mean I miss out on my dreams or on my heaven is totally unreasonable. It's outrageous that anyone should say that that child should. That's why those who believe so passionately in pro-choice is because they believe that this life is their heaven. And staying faithful to my promises in a loveless marriage makes no sense if this life is my heaven. So to our world, denying yourself seems crazy. But according to Jesus, it's the only sane choice. It's the only sane choice. Why? Because whilst our world has a view of time that lasts 70, perhaps 80 years, Jesus has an eternal perspective. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves. Why? Not just because somehow denying yourself is somehow spiritual. No, it isn't. Now, he's saying deny ourselves, let go of this life in order to take hold of something better, to take hold of eternal life. He's saying, give up what is momentary and cheap to lay hold of what is eternal and glorious. He says, we would deny ourselves with a smile on our face because we are giving up what doesn't matter, what is immaterial for what is solid and real and eternal. So he challenges us. He says, you need to choose. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. He means their life now. But it means actually, this is the word soul life. It means your life force. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, that's this life, yet forfeit their life, their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their life, their soul? It's a no-brainer, Jesus says. He says you need to choose which life you will hold on to and which one you will let go of. You can hold on to what this life offers as your heaven, and it will end in your eternal death. Or you can give up what this life offers and lay claim to an eternal life that never ends. It's a no-brainer. It's not spiritual to deny yourself. It's not like you're somehow an amazing spiritual person. It's just about being smart. Let me give you an example. If you were transported back in time to January of this year, what would you do? I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get all my savings. I would sell the car and take all the money from the car. I would sell everything I could sell. And I'd buy shares in Zoom. Wouldn't you? And people think you're mad. And think, David, you're going around without a car. What are you doing? Because I know that by October time, I will have made a sevenfold investment. We'd have taken all the money from Centre Forward and put it into Zoom. Why? Because it was the smart thing to do. We knew the future and we did the smart thing. That's what Jesus says here. I'm telling you, there is eternal life. Invest what you have now, however painful, to lay hold on the eternal returns on your investment. Isn't that a thought? It's a no-brainer. So denying yourself is the only sane choice. But here's the third point for a disciple of Jesus. Why, in the words of our illustrious Prime Minister, can't I have my cake and eat it? Why can't I have both? Why can't I have this life and the next? That's where most of us, if we're Christians, are at. That's why when I ask that question, do you believe in eternal life? And then, do you really believe it? It's because we kind of want to believe in it, but also to ignore it most of the time. And if that's where most of us are at, then we're in good company. That's where Peter was at. In our reading, before our reading actually, Peter has just said, Jesus, you are the Messiah, you're the Saviour King. And then Jesus says, aha, let me tell you about what I've come to do. And he explains how he will be persecuted and opposed and executed. And Peter says, no, it can't be that way. Why does Peter say that? It's because Peter believes this life is the heaven. And he wants the Messiah to come and sort out his life now. He wants the Romans kicked out and he wants the rewards of following the Messiah. He doesn't believe in eternal life. And that's why Jesus says what he says here. And it's also why a few chapters later, when Jesus is arrested, Peter will deny Jesus. Why did Peter deny Jesus when he was arrested? Because he didn't believe that Jesus held the key to eternal life. He didn't believe in eternal life. But do you know what the good news is? At the end of John's gospel, Jesus promises that Peter will get the promise of eternal life. And do you know how he makes that clear, that he knows that Peter will have got it? He says, Peter, one day you will be crucified for me. That's the good news. He says, one day you will take up your cross, literally, and follow me. And you will enter into my eternal life. That's the good news of a prophesied death. Okay, so denying yourself is the only sane choice for a disciple of Jesus. Why can't we have our cake and eat it? Why can't we have this life and the next? Well, first, because we're not better than our Lord. Jesus elsewhere says, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If the world hates me, it's going to hate you. What servant is better than their master? But notice here, Jesus, when he calls you to take up your cross, deny yourself and follow him, he's not asking you to do anything that he hasn't done for your eternal life. Look at it. He's just predicted that he's going to have to take up a cross and die. And now he's saying we will. If Jesus was willing to give up his life for your eternal life, why would you give up any less? But secondly, we can't have our cake and eat it, because Jesus says this life, our world, our culture is irredeemably bad. He says this, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Generation here means the time between Adam's first sin and when Jesus comes again. We don't have time to unpack this phrase, but it's pretty obvious that Jesus says our world isn't right. That his perspective, if he walked into British society right now, he would look around and he would say, wow, this is adulterous and sinful. And it's awaiting judgment. That's what he says. The Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. So we have to choose. We have to choose. So here's my question to you as we think about this. In what ways are you presently denying yourself and taking up your cross? Remember, denying yourself is a deliberate, knowing choice that will be painful or costly because you follow Jesus. Imagine somebody's with you right now and they turn to you and say, in what way are you presently denying yourself and taking up your cross? What list of things would you say? Let me read what Jesus says again. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. If it turns out that following Jesus has never cost you anything, never cost you anything significant. These are Jesus' words and not mine. You're not his disciple. You're not a Christian. And so you miss out on eternal life. People might say, well, aren't you saying, David, this is some sort of works? I've got to give up everything in order to earn eternal life? No. It simply says that when we say we will follow Jesus, we actually mean it. We're not just saying it to try and trick him. That's a hard message, isn't it? So let me give you the good news. If for you, becoming a Christian has costed you, that you have had to deny, you've denied yourself, you've made choices that are costly because you follow him, and you're feeling the pain of that, then that is a strong sign that you have eternal life. Remember, denying, making a choice that is costly because you follow Jesus. Maybe you realize, I will never marry. I can never marry because I can't marry and stay faithful to what Jesus says marriage is. Or maybe you say, you've said, I cannot continue in my present level of spending and lifestyle because I want to use it for him. Maybe you thought, I'm going to give up my free time, my comfort, in order to serve him. Maybe I'm going to give up my home for him. Maybe I've risked relationships to name Jesus to others. That's Jesus' example here. Maybe I've suffered abuse because I hold to God's word, the Bible. Maybe it's cost you in the workplace. Maybe you decided that person who hurt you, you're not going to carry on being unforgiving to them. You're going to love them, even though that is a costly choice. Maybe you refuse to give up believing in God, even when it hurts, even when it feels like stopping believing in God would make things easier, you refuse to do so. That experience of the pain of self-denial is a sign that you are a disciple of Jesus. You are following in his footsteps and that he will lead you to eternal life. But I just want to finish with this thought. So far, this might seem quite glamorous. Yeah, it's heroic. Let's not kid ourselves. Denying yourself hurts. It is painful. It is uncomfortable. If you want to know whether you're denying yourself, you'll know this. You'll know it by this. Every day, you'll feel like giving up and going back and taking hold of what you let go of. It is hard. So what will keep us going? Well, Jesus tells us here. Keep your eyes on eternal life. What good is it for... he says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Focus on eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul talks about his experience of denying himself, and it was brutal. And then he says, but these light and momentary troubles, they weren't light and momentary, but why does he call that? They are achieving for me a weight of glory. He looks at eternal life and how glorious it is, and he says, what I've denied myself now is nothing, is light and gone like a puff of wind compared to what is to come. I think of the best experience you've ever had in your life. What would it be? The most exhilarating, life-changing moment. Compared to what is to come, it's like watching paint dry. Think of the finest food you've ever tasted. I'm thinking of a steak I once ate. Amazing. Well, that steak would taste like dry, stale bread with no spread compared to the feast that is to come. And here's the thing. As you deny yourself in this life in obedience to Christ to take hold of eternal life, the real heaven, the heaven of eternal life, will start burning more brightly in your heart. And people will see in you a joy, a deep, deep joy. Because there will grow in you a homesickness for the true heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to really come to realize that denying ourselves is the only sane choice for disciples of you. Jesus, please make eternal life with you burn more and more brightly in our hearts. Please give us the courage to let go of this life, to take hold of eternal life, to let go of this life as we serve you, as we obey you, as we follow you, as we seize hold of the eternal life that is found with you. Jesus, there are things you are putting on our heart right now by your Spirit. You are saying, you need to give this up. Or you need to take this on. Jesus, I pray that you would, by your Spirit now, speak into the hearts of the people who are hearing your word this morning. Now, Lord, please give us the courage to deny ourselves. And Lord, for those listening who've never made that decision to follow you, I thank you for them. I thank you that they're here with us today. And Lord, I pray that today they will make the crazy choice to let go of this life and to seize hold of the eternal life that is found in you. Amen.